Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and welcome to Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. In this episode, I catch up with powerhouse couple Brian Dowling, Rulian, and his husband Arthur.
Dad, daddy, pops, papa, what are we talking here?
Can't be called daddy.
Okay.
Just very triggering.
But you see, naturally to me, you're daddy.
There's a story.
It involved someone before, a guy who I had to call daddy too. It was just very awkward. I was a much older guy. He was a doctor. He was very wealthy.
He was into being called.
I was in my 20s. He liked me to call him daddy. Oh, yes, right, daddy. Okay. Buy me that, daddy. And it was great for me. But yeah, like, and I was. I loved it. This man was rich. I worked right there. He paid my rent and everything. It was great. I'd call him fucking Father Christmas if he wanted to.
Brian and Arthur live in Kildare and will soon be parents for the very first time. And this conversation picks up where we left off when we last spoke in January 2020. And so much has happened in their lives since then. If you haven't heard that chat, I highly recommend you check it out as you get a really good sense of them and their relationship. And this conversation is a follow-on from that. So we hear all about their journey to parenthood, their bond with Brian's sister Aoife, Arthur packing up their home in LA at the height of pandemic restrictions to move to Ireland, along with friends Chef Donal Skehan and his wife Sophie and family, and then him going on to become a judge on hit TV show Dancing with the Stars. We also talk rumours, the significance of an orange cup, and how Aoife got the nickname Effidy. It's an inspiring, heartwarming and often hilarious chat that I hope you enjoy as much as I did. Here it is. So last time we spoke for the podcast, it was January 2020, which, I mean, it's not that long ago in terms of time, but yet it feels like a lifetime
ago. Decades, yes. Yeah. Literally.
How life changed for all of us.
So much has changed. Funny enough, actually, to recap, you were on Dancing with the Stars when we were doing the podcast, and that was my first ever podcast doing with you.
Yeah, and I think it was your first... It was actually both of your first podcasts, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. You were the first person we had done a podcast. Yes, it was. Yeah. It was the first
time
we guested.
Then you went on to have your own.
Yes, of course, Death Becomes Him. And then I guested.
Hugely popular. I mean, lads, like...
Where would you like to start?
Literally, how long is this podcast?
This is going to be the longest podcast ever recorded.
Oh my God.
And actually, we have a teeny bit of audio from our first chat, which I'd love to play, which made me kind of giggle. I was re-listening to it. I just wanted to kind of remind myself where we're
You're
at.
You're so professional. I really appreciate
take
this.
Take notes, Brian.
I need to take notes, yes.
Have a quick listen to this. Come here. I have to talk about Dancing first up, because it must be quite surreal for you guys in the fact that you are part of this huge show. It's the biggest show in Ireland.
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars. And your hubby is this world-class choreographer, artistic director, all this stuff.
Yes.
Whereas he could actually be sitting there as one of the judges.
Yeah.
So, like, is that weird? Did he get involved?
Well, he just now when I first started.
So, oh
wow!
So you just put tears in my eyes.
Just got pimples.
Yeah,
but believe me, I kind of forgot about that.
But I felt it. I'll be honest. I did always feel like
really.
Yeah, oh, I did. So when I heard the news, I went, well, obviously. Oh.
I said it first back in 2020.
Do you know what I mean?
Manifestation. She manifested the job for you.
Well, also, if you re-listen to that episode yourselves, you will hear that you are very powerful manifestors in your own right, because you're talking about buying a house in Ireland, having a family in Ireland.
True.
Look what's happening and has happened in your lives.
Yeah, true.
I'm getting goosebumps now. It's a gorgeous episode.
You
so
just
if you're
tears in my eyes, like I can't believe this.
Well, I mean, come on, it was kind of obvious.
But no, you never know. Listen, I was living my best life in Los Angeles. Who would have thought what would have happened? Do you know what I mean? I said to Brian, we would love to build our home, family, everything in America, and then definitely was gonna move later on to Ireland. But I never thought, literally a year later, I'll be getting the phone call to audition.
A global pandemic kind of changed everything.
Exactly.
It's like what you said. I think looking back at it, collectively, Arthur is such an obvious choice for that show.
Yeah.
And I said a few times in interviews, and I hope it didn't come off really cocky or arrogant when I would say Arthur is overqualified for that job. I did not mean that in a shady way towards anything. This is my husband, my soulmate. I'm going to champion him. Yeah. Of course he's overqualified, because Arthur started dancing in clubs to tour the world and those amazing pop stars. So to sit there for him, yes. But sometimes when something's so obvious to you or you, it may not be obvious to everyone.
Well, it wasn't obvious to me either, I'm not gonna lie, because obviously it was a big dream to do TV shows, things like that. I've done so many things dancing wise, creative wise, choreography wise. Dancing with the Stars, it's a show I remember. I actually danced on Strictly Come Dancing back in 2004, the first ever for Emma Bunton, right?
Wow.
Dancing there, I would have never in a million years, talking to Bruno Tognoli in 2006 about, oh my God, I would love to have your career. This is amazing, judging a dancing show, that I would be sitting there in 2022. That would have never happened to me, because first of all, I can't hardly speak English. Second of all, on a national television doing live TV, I would have never in a million years thought I would be doing that show. Do you know what I mean? I dream a lot. Yeah. I make things happen for myself, and everything I wanted to do, I made it happen. Thank God, touch wood. But I was dreaming to be a judge on TV like that. But it was just a dream to dream, if you know what I mean. I would have never thought I'd be in Ireland, in an English-speaking country, live TV, talking in English and judging someone in dancing.
Well, isn't it wonderful? You're living proof of the power of positive thinking, because that's what you're all about.
Oh, I'm
every cell in your body has a smile on its face. You're all about being positive. So
always.
You're bringing that energy in, and it's something for all of us to take on board. When I think back to that day and all that was happening in our lives individually, and the wishes and hopes and dreams that you had, but then you've made so many of them a reality. And I really do want to talk about the fact that you guys are going to be daddies soon, which is phenomenal. And I'm beyond happy for you guys. We're getting
down to single weeks, which is really real, considering we still don't have so much stuff. We don't have a nursery. I don't have bottles or formula or a soother, or use a soother, not a soother. There's so much we don't have. But strangely, I am so proactive and organized. But with this,
before you carry on, we don't have, but you have clothes though.
You're okay with clothes.
We don't have anything for the baby to be sleeping, but you have clothes. So you're comfortable with that.
But there is some weird sense of calm with this.
Yeah.
We'll get there. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Once we're in the hospital and we're holding baby, and baby is healthy and happy, and Aoife has the most safest, blessed delivery, all is good.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, before we get to that, right? So when we spoke before, you were getting on a plane back to LA.
My God.
It was January. The episode didn't go out till March. And then I remember thinking, God, this is the best TV ever. I was glued to your page and Donald Skian's page when you guys were leaving LA, and it was pure drama.
It was pure drama. I will never forget, because this is what happened. Obviously, my husband get kicked out from Dancing with the Stars, and he said, I'm going to do the final. And then
can I swear?
Oh, please.
Thank fuck. Because let me tell you what people don't know publicly. I was on that show. You know, I'd said no to every other season. I don't mean that in a cocky way. Just it just wasn't right for me. Everything happens when it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And when I signed on, I said to Arthur, this is going to be one of the hardest things. I would ring him crying most weeks, saying, you're going to have to call Larry, who's, you know, is the Shinawell. He owns Shinawell Productions. And I was like, I can't do it anymore. He was in a different country. I was kind of on my own. I really struggled with that, and I used to always say to him, but you're in LA and I'm here trying to learn the cha-cha-cha.
Do you know what I said? I said to him,
what
you
a
know
big
what?
Baby though.
It's a great experience. Stop complaining, I said. True. Enjoy
yes,
the experience.
Did.
And I keep pushing every day. I said, you can make this happen.
Yeah.
Come on, come on. And you lasted 7 weeks.
7 weeks. And seven's one of our favorite numbers. And I remember when I left that show and they went goodbye and I kind of went, thank the Lord, thank you, Mom. Thank you, everyone. I went out the right way, the way you want to go out. I got the first dance off. I was in New York the next week. I was literally like, oh, bye-bye.
Loving
I was
life.
On the phone to the American agent. Book me every meeting you can do. But that was so, it was great. And then, yeah, and then what was to come, though, we didn't realize we're on the cusp of it.
Basically,
pandemic.
When he finished, obviously, we didn't know that things going to happen.
The C word.
So, the C word. I don't even want to say it. So I was going to come to Ireland. We were going to go on holiday. Then I was going to go for work in Germany. Then go back to LA and carry on with our lives. But obviously, 15th of March, 2020, everything changed.
Yeah.
And I remember I called him. I said, oh my God, what are we doing? And Brian said, it's only going to be 15 days. Anyway, let's just wait. Lockdown's 15 days. It'd be absolutely fine. Meanwhile, I'm talking to Donald and Sophie. We're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? They're like, oh, let's just wait. Let's just wait to see what will happen and then we will decide. Long story short, happened so quick that Sophie and I, we were trying to book the cars. Everything is in lockdown. Try to book the, you know, the cars, how to book the planes, how to book the tickets, book like how, like so much was happening.
And emptying two homes.
Emptying two homes. Like literally all our lives are there. And bear in mind, everything is closed. So I can't do anything. Sophie can't do anything. So we had to support each other. And it took us about 3 days to pack my house. And then
and you had to pack up your life and Brian's.
Yes. You've not mentioned Donald's name once. What the fuck was he doing?
Oh, Donald was there looking after the baby.
Donald, with Donald's no good
Donald,
in a crisis.
Donald, I love you.
We love him. He's no good
but
in a crisis.
Is he not?
No good in a crisis.
Donald
Sophie's
was,
the man you want.
In fairness, Donald was cooking for Sophie and I. He was absolutely amazing. He actually fed us. That man fed us.
I'm just saying he's no good. We're seeing him afterwards and I tell him I said this.
So what are you dealing with? So when the shit hits the fan, how is Donald behaving?
There's a bit of panic. Right. Almost like a chicken running around a coop. Feathers everywhere.
Oh,
and then Sophie's the cock of the walk going, calm your shit down.
Oh, no, yeah, Sophie's good at booking things and everything.
So oh, are you. But Arthur gets down in the grit with you. Arthur's in there doing it.
Yeah.
I'm very much like, ooh, well,
actually, you and Donald
I'm
be
a
the
panicker,
same,
a worrier. Yeah. Arthur's a doer.
Mm.
And that's why Donald and I are lucky that with our partners, they pick up the slack.
Yin yang.
Yeah, I hear you. Honestly, it's a good combination. So I packed my house and then I literally moved with the Skins for 2 weeks because we couldn't leave. We were looking for a ticket to come to Ireland. And then...
But also at the airport back then, this was the start of a global pandemic in America. You had... It was full masks.
Oh, yeah.
Full, people wearing like...
We were scared.
Fear was through the roof.
You know the suits?
Oh, my God.
The suits you see in movies. Even in airports, they were telling you not to touch anything.
We were mortified.
This was back at a time when people were still so fearful of the unknown.
Like, we left, what? I think it was 15th of April? Like, 15th of April, like, in the middle of pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We made it fun because it is what it is. We have to go through it. So we had to go to Paris and then from Paris to Ireland. And then it was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
A lot of airlines had cancelled flights.
Yeah.
So a lot of flights that are pre-booked, they were just cancelling them because people didn't know what to do. It was
I think
a
our
real
flight
fear.
Got cancelled 3 times.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to laugh. We were like, that's it. We're stuck here. We can't go. And then Sophie last minute said, I found a flight. We're packing. That's it. We're leaving. We're staying positive. I was like, we are definitely staying positive. We're going to get through this.
It was really impressive, actually. Just as a normal person who was following your page and following Donald's page, that, you know, that you kind of got out and everybody was kind of following going, well, where are they going to next? Where are they now? And then you landed and you were here and it was kind of like sigh of relief. But... Yeah, I suppose what you thought would happen and the plans and at this stage when we spoke before, it was like you had hopes and dreams, but everything was accelerated then because of the pandemic. And obviously the desire to have your own family has been something that you have wanted for such a long time. And during the pandemic, we had a lot of time to think and plan. But everything also came to a standstill. So can I ask how you have gone from... We want our own family, but because I know you were kind of toying with will we adopt?
Yeah.
Will we go down the surrogacy route? What will we do? To now, your sister Aoife is carrying your baby, which is so beautiful.
We had always toyed with it. So from the time we got married, this was always a conversation. So we'd reach out and find research in the UK. We'd reach out, we find research in Ireland. When we were living in America, our friend Ian, who's H and Steps, he went down the surrogacy route. He has beautiful twin boys. So after mum passed away in 2018, we kind of decided, really, mum had just been buried, that we were like, well, you know, life is so short. I was like, let's have a family. And Arthur had been living in America the year before. And I said, I'm going to move to America with you. Why am I here on my own? Mom passing away has just proved to me that we don't get a tomorrow. We don't get a forever. We're so lucky. And then in 2019, we reached out through surrogacy in America. But back then, we're both self-employed, as you are.
No, but before surrogacy, we wanted to adopt.
Yeah.
I was completely, like I said before, I was against surrogacy, because from where I'm coming from, I didn't want to spend all that money to create a kid that I could save kids. There's so many kids, especially living in LA. I was watching, I was like, my God, I want to actually save kids. Why am I paying all that money? But then obviously we went for adoption. We went to see what's happening. All the meetings we had was absolutely amazing. Obviously pandemic happened.
And also adoption is something that, you know, we haven't discussed in detail on the podcast yet, but I do know from people who are going through the process, my God, is it tough.
So tough.
It's huge process in itself.
I mean, a friend of ours, Alan McGovern, him and his wife, Jenny, who passed away, rest her, they went through it. And again, we were very, very lucky with Ian, with the surrogacy, and then Alan, who'd physically gone through it with his wife.
To fill you in.
It was, we were very lucky. We were able to reach kind of out to people. So having a child was always something we were going to do. So cut back to 2019 when I'm living in LA. I was on a flight, a long haul flight, every 3 weeks for work. Mm. I have no profile in America. I'm completely unknown. We like our life, but we have to work ourselves to get it. He was working in America. Arthur was on a show there. He was doing choreography. He was working with Macy Gray and doing all of this. So every 3 weeks I was on a long haul flight. That's a lot. Yeah. So every time we'd see the adoption people, we were going down the foster to adopt situation, because in America we found, as you know, gay men, a same-sex relationship was far more inclusive over there, far more encouraging. We were driving down Sunset Boulevard and we actually seen a sign. It was for gay parents on a board saying, you know, you're looking to adopt. This is the number.
I remember I stopped the car. I was like, call the number. Now we're
this
doing
is a sign.
It. This is a sign. Exactly.
Literally. So that's exactly what we did. And that, you know, they went, you know, really quick, and they escalated from the first meeting. I think because we were on the O-1 visas and we've been approved by the American government already.
Yeah.
I think they seen that as a plus, as a thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic happens. And during the pandemic, you know, it gave Arthur and I a lot of time to think. We have spent years of our lives running around, chasing the dream, working on a plane, off a plane, Arthur touring the world, me pushing it, works, auditions, screen tests, all. And we're saying, for what? Why are we're here in the room I grew up in as a kid. Everything's in storage because of the pandemic. We have your laptop. We are watching movies together. And it was happiest the safest we have ever felt. We now have our own house in Strathfin. And I say to him, isn't it so funny that, imagine just going back to that room. It's kind of emotional.
I mean, our beds were so big, couldn't even fit in the room.
And was there my sister, my dad, her fiance and our nephew, Harvey, who we thought was our kid because we're obsessed with him. And it was the happiest and the safest we have ever felt. And it was then we realized, what's it all for?
And we were talking, Sheila, earlier. We said, you know, it's make you realize, I was like 24/7, go, 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 go. And then pandemic was like, I do miss my work, but I'm loving this life.
Yes.
The kind of quiet life, cooler life. Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
and you start analyzing so much in your
head.
And
your perspective shifts. And then you realize, and you're both good at this anyway. You can tell that you are, but you realize what's important.
100%.
But also, because we'd worked so hard for those years, bang, bang,
striving,
bang, going,
striving. Yeah.
We had the luxury then of when everything stopped of being okay in every aspect of our lives, that we were living at home. We didn't have any mortgage, any rent. You know, we'd money in the bank because we'd worked so hard for those years before. Not a lot of people had that. So we, again, we felt so lucky. But slowing down for us was just amazing. A blessing for us, yeah, and also for our relationship. Lucky. We spent so much time apart all together. And in that one tiny room in Rathangan, you couldn't open the door because the bed was that big.
But then we were laughing. Wow. We were lying there and I keep staring at the ceiling and thinking to myself, my God, 1 minute I was dancing in front of 85,000 people traveling the world. And now obviously the pandemic, we're stuck in this little room together. It feels amazing.
Yeah.
Like it feels amazing. And that's when all started. It's like, this is a time we need to think.
And our marriage survived.
Yeah.
We were literally just everyone.
I'm thinking TikTok because we started dancing. So.
Well, it sounds like, you know, you're a great couple anyway, but it sounds like your relationship didn't just survive, but it thrived.
100%.
It did. And then it was that thing of, okay, well, let's get it moving, the baby. And because I have six sisters, people are sick of me saying I have six sisters, but it's so relevant. Each of my sisters over the years have said, oh, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. And accumulated really in the end of 2020.
Isn't that amazing though? And they all would offer.
They all
That's
did.
That's gorgeous.
And then during it all, they all kind of said, you know what, I can't do it for you purely because my little girl is 8. She'll wonder where her brother and sister is going, even though it's not her brother and sister, but she sees the mom pregnant. She's going to presume that's her brother or sister.
And they
kind of eliminated themselves. And Aoife from 2019 was always the really persistent one that would say it to us and engage with us. And she'd watched a documentary on Virgin about surrogacy, I think, in 2020. And then in 2021, we went for a walk in Strafford around our house where we are. And she said, I'm really interested in doing this. This is something I really want to do. And then we were like, Okay, is this it? And then, of course, you look down the medical aspect. You know, can this be possible? And from the time we started the real conversation to the time she was on hormones was like maybe 5-6 months. But it does feel like that went by in the blink of an eye. And 6 months is a long time.
Yeah, but before all this, she came the first time. And obviously you think, oh my God, that would be amazing. But like, no. It's a joke. Obviously, you want to do it, but we're not going to do that to you, Aoife. Second time she came back, we're like, again, you know, like, are you really serious? Mm. And the third time, obviously, it was a miracle.
Isn't that
she
beautiful?
She was serious about this.
And had it been the other way around, that would have been the way it was meant to be as well. But the fact that she was the one to make the suggestion each and every time to you guys...
Yeah. Yeah.
Must have given you guys such peace of mind knowing that, well, she actually wants to do this. And I know, and it's something that we've discussed before we clicked record in this conversation, and it's something to be mindful of. This, you're very generous by letting us in, all of us, and I mean everybody listening to this podcast now, everyone who follows you, me on Instagram, by letting us into your journey. But I also fully appreciate that this is also very private. And there are many elements to your story that you will be comfortable to talk about and not. So, feel free not to answer as we go along. And also Aoife is her own independent person.
Correct. Yeah.
And she's not here today, and I know she's very private, and you want to protect her.
And I want
her.
To say, you know, you did invite Aoife on this conversation. I asked Aoife, would she want to join us? And she just said, no, that's not her thing.
Yes.
And we have to respect that. And every time I talk about Aoife, I have her permission. Anytime I record Aoife on Instagram, I always go, show her, are you okay with that?
Of course.
And we're having so much fun with her. And she's always like, yeah, of course you can post it. We will never post anything.
No.
If she hasn't approved. Never. That's not my agenda to make her look bad or anything. Not at all. We love her so much, and everything you see on social media, we want to stay real. And the reason we're sharing all this, like I said to Brian, you know, like, I don't want to cover baby's face when the baby's born. I don't want to lie things because we are so real.
Yes.
Like, we are real. You see what you get.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to start saying, no, I can't do this, I can't do that. That's not going to be me. And I said, since day one, we have to either we're going in or just stop social media, just do whatever we do and switch everything off. But that's not us.
During that transitional time, when we were trying to get pregnant, we obviously didn't talk about that. And why we're so transparent is because we feel we have to be. Because I've spoken publicly about wanting to have a family. So did Arthur. We put that out there.
Correct.
Yeah. So when people engage with us and ask us questions, we do have a right to reply.
Absolutely.
And at no point did we say, oh, I'm not talking about that. You know, also what we're doing with Arthur and I, you know, being same sex and gay, and Aoife being my sister, your sister, and all being our surrogate, this will help other people. Mm. You know, you want to show people this is our version of family. We can't be the only ones that are doing this. Yeah. We're just talking about
it. But also it's opening another door that people didn't realize that a family member can help you. I had so many messages, people saying, my God, I never realized I could have done for my brother, for my uncle, for this and that. Because you can. It's possible. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that's, people appreciate that big time. Yes. Big time. And that, I'm already happy I helped that tick that box. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And Aoife is actually living with you guys now.
Yes.
She is, yeah.
And people have asked, every day on Instagram, on a DM, I would get asked a pregnancy-related question, but mainly about Aoife. And I just think there's a lot of love for Aoife out there and a lot of support. Aoife's Instagram is on private. That was a decision she made herself. It was a public Instagram. And months ago on this journey, she just wanted to go on private. And she gets, I think one day it was like 8,000 requests or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
But for literally, her, like, she doesn't know how to manage that. Aoife, you know, works in hospitality. I want to say has a real job. So she, you know, as much, we're protective of her. She's protective of herself. She's 33, has never been pregnant before. People have asked that. This is her first time being pregnant as well.
But also, yeah. I just want to say and put out there that she wasn't doing this for fame or money or Instagram influence. She was purely doing this to help us. Of course. That's why she doesn't want to be like, hi guys, I'm pregnant. That wasn't her agenda at all. And that's why we love her even more. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. She's so good at doing that. Because let's be honest, another person could have said, listen, I love the attention. No, she doesn't. We did a masterclass the other day in Cork. She was taking pictures and people want to take pictures of her. But she's like, no guys, it's okay. And I love her even more for that. Because it's not about her. She's giving us her gift. That's all it's all about, you know?
Yeah, it's pure love. So,
it's
there is nothing about this that isn't so uplifting, so positive, and so inspiring, I think, for all of us. So, you know, I'm so glad you're here, because when I heard the news, and like everyone who heard the news, I was just bursting with joy.
And we chatted. You messaged and you and I had a conversation. Yeah. And when you asked us to come on, I said to you, absolutely, we'd love to come on. Yeah. And then I was trying to get a date.
The date.
You know, to date that works, because we're all busy, we're all doing stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy.
Birthdays, holidays, yes. Oh my God. Been going on.
And with his family, there's birthdays every day. That's, I swear, true. Sheila. Yeah. I can't cope with
it. I think what's quite
too many parties
with this conversation is, it's quite nice to have a part one and a part two, and hopefully there'll be a part three.
Yes.
It's quite nice that and for us is listening to the playback of what you just played and to see the growth, whether it be professionally, but also emotionally and psychologically, how we're different only 2 years later.
I know.
With a baby on the way.
I know.
And another 2 years, like you'll have a toddler. Do you know when you think
about
it? And
maybe another one, who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Okay. So let's go from Aoife saying, no, I've talked about this, third time coming back to you guys saying, I really want to do this. How then do you go from I want to do it to she's actually pregnant and due in September?
You know, what was really odd was a lot of Googling, because as, you know, members of the LGBTQ+I community, and when it comes to surrogacy here in Ireland, it's not, there are no regulations. So where do you start? I've done a lot of Googling. We also then had to get tested ourselves. Can we physically have children? Can Aoife be a gestational carrier? Are we able to father children? I was on a show in the April overnight TV, a karaoke show, and Arthur and Aoife went to a clinic and were FaceTiming me and were getting checked out, and Aoife was passing every test, and that was all good. And then it was up to Arthur and I to step up. And along the way during that process, that was tricky for us, because we found stuff out, and you know, and that was a situation where we had to pause, you know, for a bit. And you know, that's something that is private. And I've said maybe one day we would talk about that or say something about that, but the bigger picture was always having our baby, and that was the goal.
And you know what, I think most people listening who have been on their own fertility journey, even though it's different, you know, things can happen, there can be stumbling blocks that are not expected in varying different degrees. So I completely get it, and I also get how difficult it can be emotionally when you hear something that you weren't expecting. Mm-hmm. So whatever it was, and absolutely fully respect, it's nobody's business, it's your own. But anyway, you're doing your tests and you're finding stuff out.
Yes.
But and while there might be stuff that you weren't expecting, there's also a lot of positive stuff going on.
Of course, absolutely. And then it was, well, the clinic. And I rang somewhere here in Ireland, because I'm Irish, and I'm almost fearful. I've never named the clinic, and I'm very mindful not to, because they're just doing their job for us being gay. And I hate to say it's because we're gay. It is because we're gay.
I think it's not even the clinic. It's how they they approached us. You know, you can be nice or, sorry for my language, vile.
Yeah.
And the word vile, that's how I can describe.
Just and very dismissive.
Ooh, like very
that's
dismissive.
That's very disappointing to
you. You know, we don't do that here. You know, we can't help you. It's just very much.
That's a nice way, yes.
And it's because we're gay, because if you're a heterosexual couple here in Ireland, you know, and you can go and seek sort of IVF and treatment, you can't do that because, again, there's no regulations. It's not illegal. Mm. It's also not legal. So it leaves people in the middle of going, well, what do we do? They don't know what to do.
But also, you were not asking anything out of ordinary. You were just asking a medical question.
Yeah.
And once you mentioned gay and this is what we're doing, oh my God. But we were not asking anything out of ordinary. Do you know what I mean?
No, we were very lucky that we did go to a clinic for fertility advice here in Ireland that were just so amazing and made us feel so comfortable. And I think they addressed us as three different individuals who were going on this journey of becoming parents. It wasn't two gay guys and a surrogate.
Which the other two clinics should have done the same. Do you know what I mean?
It was three separate people going on a fertility journey with the goal of becoming parents, or, you know, which made us feel, you know, safe.
Comfortable.
And then after the testing, it was trying to find a clinic. It can't work for us here in Ireland. Again, we've never said the clinic or where we went. It was through a recommendation from someone else who had a healthy pregnancy and had a family through this. And then we reached out to someone at that clinic and they spoke English because someone else couldn't speak English. And that was, you know, that was trying to find someone who spoke English. And then luckily a nurse speaks fluent French, Arthur speaks fluent French, that made it easier. And again,
so
I'm thinking,
to communicate,
why are we having to do this?
So complicated.
And then we spoke to someone in the UK, and to be honest, with that clinic, we didn't get a good vibe off them. It was like €250 for a Skype call for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was all money, financial. And then the clinic we went with, it wasn't about money. They wanted to help us. They wanted to advise us and educate us. And we just felt like we're also going on a recommendation from someone who had a healthy pregnancy. So this is, again, we were lucky to be able to reach out to people again. And then
that's great to hear, because the business side of fertility conception is massive.
Yes.
And I do think, because when you make that decision that you want to be a parent, to bring a baby into the world, like there's nothing more powerful than that. And you'll do anything. So you're very vulnerable.
100%.
And, you know, you will do whatever it takes. And there are a lot of people that exploit that vulnerability.
And it's expensive.
It's hugely expensive.
I don't know why it's not free for people.
Like I was saying, if you don't have the money, you will never have kids. Just think about this.
Yeah.
If you can't afford, even though you'll be the best dad, mom, like you can't afford, you will never have kids. So that's it, you're stuck. So I think it's sad for that.
Like, we had a good meeting with the gentleman at that clinic, and then it really escalated to Aoife going on hormones. And at that time, Aoife was single. I think it worked out well for her being
so much,
single.
Yeah.
It was good, because how could she have done this if she was in a relationship? But then, you know, it's about cycles and menstruation and ovulating and charts and your uterus measuring and every other week.
We learned so much. I think I know so well the anatomy of
female anatomy
so well, because we were learning every day something new.
And there's no glamour in it.
There's no, you just have to go in. That's
like, I'm picking up this gorgeous cup of tea and a cup Sheila gave me, and I requested, actually. And then we have this orange cup, and it's like the ones you see people drinking in America that are red. And I have this orange cup, and it's going to be in the room that's our nursery, and it's in the window because it means so much to me. Aoife peed in this cup.
Stop it.
Listen, for an ovulation test. She also peed in this cup for a pregnancy test. So the cup in that room, it means so... Well, when I look at that cup, it brings me joy.
Has it been washed?
It has been washed numerous times.
Okay.
But it's just because during all of this, we attacked it with humor.
Yes,
with hope, with love, with positivity. But humor is the key for us.
I mean, we did cry a lot too, but at the same time, it's up and down. But I always kept the positivity going. I was like, it's okay, not this time, let's go again. Da-da-da. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't let it go.
So you were following her ovulation, and, you know, you're watching her, I suppose, peak days and all that kind of stuff. Then can we talk about, we already know probably those who have followed your story, but it's probably important to point out, maybe somebody listening for the very first time, Aoife is is pregnant with your baby, but she's not using her egg. It's a donor egg.
Correct.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think there's a lot of confusion. We also know who the biological father is. We only ever give one sample. We know who the father is. It's not Aoife's biological child. She is not the biological mother. In the eyes of the Irish law, though, she is.
She is, yeah.
This so is a complicated thing, yeah.
This is in the eyes of the law. And if Aoife was married, her husband would go down as the biological father, even though we know who the father is.
This is where the surrogacy laws really do need to change. And 100%. I hope it does happen soon, because it's outrageous.
But will it happen? Because I think it leaves families in limbo. It's so confusing for everyone.
It's very disappointing.
And one of us has no rights. One of us has no rights over this child.
But like you said, if Aoife was married, her husband will be the dad.
Will be considered the biological father of a baby that's not his.
Confusing.
It's very, very odd. Ooh. So, I mean, looking back on it now, when you're in it, and the issue was we couldn't, well, I don't know if you've ever said this, but we couldn't get Aoife's uterus to measure a certain amount to get the embryo transfer. We had to select an egg donor.
The wall needs to be thickness.
Yeah. Couldn't get it. And in between all of this, we have given samples, and we know the sample that's on ice.
We then had,
with the egg donor, we were given profile numbers. We weren't given pictures. We've no idea what the donor looked like. We just knew her height, her weight, her hair color, eye color, how healthy. Her family, parents, grandparents, smoked, exercised, occupation. And we narrowed that down to 5 and then 3. Right. And then we narrowed it down to 1.
Okay.
So we had all of that. But in the meantime, the sample of semen and the egg meet, and we have an embryo. We had 2 embryos. One had split, and we lost that due to abnormalities in it. And I've said that was a real...
You got really upset.
I got really upset. I don't know why. I got so emotional, because I just think...
Oh, no, I do know why.
Yeah, but you're also... Like that, but it's a baby.
Because an embryo, it's a baby.
We didn't know the gender of the twins, but they did, and the clinic don't tell you. Mm. And it's just not viable, and it would not have led to a viable, healthy pregnancy.
Yeah.
For the children, or indeed Aoife, and we also have to bear in mind, you know, she's doing this for us. Mm. Yeah. That's when it got really real for me. And that's when I thought to myself, hang on, we may not ever get pregnant or we may lose again. And I wasn't prepared to feel that kind of paternal loss. It was a very strange feeling. Mm-hmm. I still think about it. And we talk about whether there were boys or girls. It's so funny. It's
but the
just
clinic,
odd.
By law, for their clinic, they had to destroy. They're not even asking you if they can destroy or not. They think they have to be viable.
It's in the small print. Yeah. They only work with viable, healthy embryos.
Yeah. Even if we said, oh, doesn't matter, just go for it.
We wouldn't have been allowed.
It's just,
of course, it's lost. And then you're kind of dealing with that. How many embryos did you have?
So we had 2 and then 1 split, and that didn't work. And we'd 1 left.
Oh, wow.
Only 1 left.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we measured with Aoife, but on a natural cycle. So we were going to stop. We weren't measuring. This is 6, 7, 8 months of just not measuring.
It was so hard, up and down, working, not
and
working,
all the hormones and booking flights and losing flights and hotels and flying over and just
nothing
working.
And again, talking money,
out.
It's money. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's you spending so much money. And then they were like, we can't do this anymore. Like, where are we
going? As much as the money was coming in, when I tell you it was going out.
We were lucky,
And then we had an issue with hormones, trying to get Aoife on hormones with her period on the second day. And we reached out, you know, to someone regarding hormones, because we had no access to hormones. And they couldn't give us the hormones because they went, if something goes wrong with Aoife taking them, I will lose my medical license.
Oh, right.
Because the legality. And luckily, you know, we had to fly somewhere with our certs and get them and bring them back in hand luggage for fear we'd get stopped and like be arrested.
Thing, bear in mind, we're doing all this, Brian and I. Obviously, just Corey Effort is just there, but we didn't, because in Ireland, nobody can help us.
Yeah.
So Brian and I, we're doing everything on our own. We became doctors, psychologists for Aoife. We do everything.
So
everything on our own.
This is all happening, timeline again, in 2021.
Oh, the summer of 2020. Before that, from like, you're looking at April through of 2021.
And obviously, we're really oblivious to what's going on in your life.
Show still goes on. You're out there smiling, dodging, asking questions about it, but being hopeful. We're on the baby train. I just kept saying we're on the baby train. The train's left the station because I did not know. But getting the hormones back, you know, we'd done it legally, of course. It was all prescription in the country. Sure, we'd done it. They were carried in the hand luggage. We scanned them through. But it was a real thing of going, get those fucking drugs on that plane and ram them up or down, Aoife, whatever way you can do. Well, I don't care how she takes them.
Oh, my God.
And, like, she was funny. And, like, I say there's no glamour, and I can say this because Aoife's told me I can say this. She then had to take medication vaginally because she couldn't do it herself. That's all I'm saying. She couldn't do it herself because she was afraid. She thought she was doing it wrong. So then you have to step in and go, you just need to lie down. We're going to get you through this together.
Go away.
That's what I'm telling you.
Oh my God, we never said this.
That's how into this we were, the three of us.
Oh my God.
We never want to give up.
Howled.
I was like, lie down.
Because I know those pestries. I did them myself when I was pregnant.
And she was right, because when we didn't measure, they were saying they weren't going in properly. And I was like, lie on that couch. Here's a cushion, elevate those knees. Arthur, put on the gloves. Get a torch, turn on the phone and the iPhone. There's the light. Shove it up. Here we go. And, like, it literally. And then we'd watch.
Empathy, I love you.
Then we'd probably watch Dancing with the Stars or something, or Emmerdale. It was. Because when you're in that.
We're laughing now, but it's true. You have to do all
this. But you don't care. You will do anything to make this work. Oh. We'll do anything to make this work.
Yeah.
And Aoife had the same passion and love that we did. Yeah. Like, she was having scans, and we didn't know there were, internal scans. And, like, and I'm thinking, she's never said, stop.
Never.
I don't want to do it.
Never.
She's never said no. She's never complained once. We're in our third trimester now, and the back of her legs are hurting her bum cheeks and her lower back.
She's flying it, isn't she?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Thank so we went for our last checkup last year. It's the winter of last year, and we didn't measure. And we had thought, that's just the money, like, as much that you don't want to put a financial expense on having a child. It's not a burden. I don't mean it that way. But when you're self-employed and you're working and you're putting all that money in this thing, and it's not thousands, it's and it's serious, not happening, you have to then go, maybe this isn't for us.
Yeah.
Maybe we aren't supposed to have children. Maybe it's being godparents, and maybe having all our nieces and nephews is our thing. We got over an initial, such a huge hurdle that eliminated one of us for stepping up, being honest. So it was now on one person. Maybe this is just isn't for us. And then we said stop. I was like, I can't. I've had enough. Aoife was getting frustrated, so was Arthur. And then we measured, and they were like, no, you're too short. And then the clinic said to us, why don't we try a natural cycle?
Actually, no, they also believe in us. They said, don't stop, just try last time,
natural
cycle,
no, nothing,
no tablets, no, nothing,
just
nothing.
Do what the body natural. Wants to do naturally.
Wow. Okay.
So then we're thinking a period and all of that. And then I remember we were somewhere and they said on this day, and we went, let's get an ovulation test. And I remember the chemist in Nace closed at midnight and we got there at 5 to 12 and it was one box of ovulation.
Literally one
I'm telling
box.
You, one box left.
It's like,
and then Aoife, Aoife had to get up one morning so early. Arthur was away somewhere. You were in Galway because we were doing the socks. We were launching socks.
Yeah.
And Aoife peed in this orange cup and I dipped the fucking ovulation test in it. And I was urine splashing. I didn't care. And I was like, if I don't get a fucking smiley face on this, I'm going to go wild. And I took it out and it was the smiliest face.
You know, that round face. And smile.
Yeah. Oh, and remember, it flashed initially. That's good. Then it stayed. And we rang Arthur with the thingy.
Screaming. I was like, oh my God, it's not working. I thought it was scream, like sad scream. They're like, no,
it's working.
It's happening.
And the next day we done it again. And it worked. The next day, three consistent. And
just
then,
to make sure.
Just to make sure. Then on a flight, one embryo left that had been in a freezer for about 6 months.
It's like lottery. It's like literally playing lottery.
And then I remember doing all of that. And that's fun in itself because after the embryo transfer, you know, I actually couldn't go because I was working. So Arthur had to go with Aoife. And then Aoife said it happened really... I mean, you were there. I wasn't there.
Well, I was there, yes. And when it happened, I know they say you have to just relax, you know, legs in the air. So I was so evil to her. I said, you're going to lie down in a hotel bed, on the bed, and then legs up. She was like, oh, 20 minutes. I was like, no, 3 hours.
Yes.
And I left her hanging there. But
she slept.
Because I was so paranoid. I was like, Effie, I love you for what you're doing, but I'm sorry, I'll bring you anything you want. Just stay there.
Don't
and
move.
Do you know what? She stayed there for actually 4 hours, legs in the air. And we keep saying that's why it worked. That's why, because she, I mean, I don't know that's why it worked, but I was like so paranoid. I was like, one chance in a million. Yeah. And she was so good. And then the only thing she was craving, she's like, I would love to eat some mango. I was like, yes. You never ate mangoes. She was craving for mangoes.
Mango after
so I had to go all over the place finding mangoes for her. I mean, we were crying again, laughing, calling him while he was working. But I was like, please keep those legs up in the air.
And what was very, you know, we've
and,
never...
And like, that's some serious pressure on Aoife.
Oh,
completely.
My God.
But she...
You know, because she knows how much she wanted. This is like last embryo.
100%.
Oh, you know?
Yeah, and then last embryo, you know, with that donor, we had chosen that donor. And then once that donor's gone now, no one else... That donor was only given that donation. So, you know, we matched with that, obviously, donor for our own reasons as well, apart from the healthy aspect of it. So we kind of thought, you know, and then we start again. And it was Christmas. Aoife, we were over my sister's, and we've never said this over because the dates that we only revealed is the 10th of September. And we were over my sister's and pouring champagne. And I asked Aoife, it was after the transfer a few weeks later, and asked her to pour me a glass of champagne. And she got sick in the sink. And we'd never done any tests.
And my mom was there, and my mom straight away said she's pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Because we'd done no testing at this point. Yeah, yeah. We were just hoping.
Because no, you have to wait 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Once the embryo transfer, you wait 2 weeks and you have to do the blood test.
Yeah.
And then...
But because of over New Year and stuff, we'd no access to blood tests. So we had done two pregnancy tests, and Aoife and Arthur were downstairs, and I was up in the room with the orange cup again.
Oh my God.
Me and this orange cup were just best friends. And I had dipped two of them in. And when I tell you, they turned pregnant, 2 seconds.
Yes.
There was no... And I went... We're fucking pregnant.
He was upstairs on his own.
I actually sat in the bed and went, I now know this first before anyone. And for me, it was very important because I couldn't go for the transfer with work. I had to have my own moment of relishing in something. And remember, I came downstairs and that's the video we put up. And I said, we're fucking pregnant. We got a lot of slack for that from people saying that we're not pregnant. We're men, how are we taking this away? What people didn't realize was Aoife was in that room with Arthur. Yeah. We're pregnant collectively, the three of us.
Oh, God, yeah.
So we had so many messages about that. And that's not
really?
What... Yeah, we did. Yeah, and we I just did. Thought, well, okay,
let us... Disappointed to hear that. Course,
yeah,
my God.
But I'm... That's not about taking...
They say, you're a man, you can't be pregnant.
But Aoife was there with us. That's her screaming. We just edited her out because she didn't want to be in the video.
Yeah. It's also how people talk. I mean, English is not my language, but people say, oh my God, we're pregnant, you know? Straight, gay, it doesn't matter. We are pregnant.
Exactly.
So I think when we say that, people, not everybody, but a few people attack. It's like, oh my God, okay.
So
you're sitting there and you're taking this news in. And as you said, at this
while we're waiting downstairs,
but also,
or was it surreal? Were you?
It was surreal because I thought... As much as it had taken us, you know, from the February the whole way through, like 9-10 months, I then realized quite quickly, shit, we've just done this once. we've only had to do it once. So in my mind, there's a real thing of going, we are the luckiest people. Anything else that happened,
we never gave up.
It was this is supposed to be our baby. This is our moment, and this is the child that has been sent to us for a reason. This is the one that will look after me and him, and we're a lot.
I knew this baby was meant
to be for us. And then I ran down and told them, and we honestly we hugged and cried,
screaming.
And then Aoife down. We were like, "Do you want to put your legs up? Are you okay?" Because we were very much like, she is the queen, and we now need to protect you. And it was a real moment of our lives have completely changed. But then it was a real thing where I went, is Aoife going to be okay? She's never been pregnant. And we try to protect her for as long as possible. And why I'm going to say is, we've never said before to anyone, there was a lot of chatter back where we live in Rathangan, and a lot of talking and a lot of stuff that was being said. You know, people had heard certain stuff we had to protect her from rumors of stuff that, you know, she had gotten herself pregnant or was in a situation, and she...
Which wasn't nice.
She was trying to hide a pregnancy. There was something going on. And I've never said that, because that's also been something that we've carried through this, protecting Aoife and trying to keep it a secret for as long... We got to the second trimester, I think, without any sort of public acknowledgement. There was talk, and Aoife wasn't drinking a certain stuff and wearing, you know, baggier clothing. So there was stuff being said. And because Aoife put her Instagram on private and wasn't doing so much stuff, there was a bit of chatter. And we were very mindful that the stuff people were saying is not the truth. This is not what is happening. You know, Aoife is pregnant for us. This isn't bad news. This is exciting news.
We
will tell you in our own time. Allow us that opportunity to tell you our news when we want to.
And also, it's not fair on Aoife. She's doing this beautiful thing for us, and then she's hearing rumors left,
right,
center.
So disappointing, isn't it?
I was so angry.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but we've got our head around that, because this was always going to be something that was going to be revealed. This is always going to be something that was going to bring us the most joy. This wasn't something we were embarrassed, ashamed by, or keeping a secret. So that was kind of going on in the backward, and people would message her asking her if she was pregnant. And she would say no.
Right.
And the reason Aoife said no is because she said to me, her wording was so perfect. She went, "This is not my baby. This is not my news." So I knew from day dot, she is the perfect person for this.
Yes.
You know, she's not trained in media or any of that. Or, you know, but she knew from day dot, she said, "This isn't my news." And she'd say, I'm no.
Like, and you brought something big up, because I think a lot of us that are maybe new to the idea of surrogacy, I've certainly learned, I have no personal experience of it, obviously, but I've learned a lot from talking to people. It's very different from living it. I fully appreciate that. But there's so much that I still don't know, and I'm learning all the time. But if I try and put myself in that situation, I would imagine you probably do need a lot of assistance around the emotional aspect of it.
Absolutely.
For all of you, because it's, you know, it's your sister. It's your sister-in-law, and yet she is carrying your baby. She knows this is not my baby, but I'm providing a home for this little one to grow until they're ready to birth into the world. I would imagine you would need a bit of counselling, a bit of therapy around that. Is that something that is being provided or that she's looking at?
Aoife has done that herself of her own accord.
Brilliant.
Months and months and months ago.
Way before we started.
Even way before we got on hormones. She went to see someone herself. It was advised to the... we were seeking advice from fertility here in Ireland, and that amazing clinic
that's
we went
so
to.
That's so important.
And they were so inclusive.
Important.
And, you know, she's been to see, I think, two or three appointments, one beforehand, one during, and one after. Again, her own accord. We didn't have to bring up this subject. She organically wanted to do that. And for us, we're seeing no red flags. And I don't know what was said, because they're obviously private conversations.
Yeah.
But when she came home, she always felt comfortable saying, "No, it went really well. It's what I thought. The lady said this to me, reassured me," because she must have her own questions, even herself. Because as much as all of this is very public and we're very, very excited, we don't know what's going to happen on day of delivery. We're all going to be so excited, full of so much love, and having a safe delivery for both Aoife and baby is crucial to us. But then, you know, we go and do skin on skin. Aoife doesn't hold the baby.
I was actually, if it was appropriate
of course,
to ask,
yes, absolutely.
I know it's very intimate.
Yes.
But the day, so is it a case of, you know, your due date is the 10th of September?
Yes.
But I suppose baby decides when they're going to pop into the world, might perform after. But in around, anyway, baby is born. So baby goes straight to the parents, which
skin
is
skin on
guys.
Skin,
to
Arthur us, yeah. and I, yes.
For the snuggle, they are the best cuddles.
Oh, my
yeah, we've
magic.
It's so strange.
Oh, it's magic.
We've never done it.
It's so amazing.
And you know what I was saying? We're so lucky because we have Effie with us the whole 9 months.
Yeah.
Because normally when you do surrogacy, you will say hello and then goodbye and then see them in 9 months.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. So you don't really experience the pregnancy. But we are, like again, we are pregnant.
Yeah.
And the child is there every day. I see the bump. We see them growing. And the
and
moment
when... the kicks
when,
start. Has that started
wait.
Yet?
We haven't seen it.
No,
but probably,
kicks for Aoife are... But we've not seen anything with the hand or foot on the,
no,
on the belly yet.
Daddy.
And when we feel, we don't feel the flushers or the kicks. But third trimester, she jumps up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be honest. Damien struggled to really ever feel.
Yeah,
it's hard.
You feel
it's
exactly.
hard. Yeah, it's hard.
I've asked Aoife what the feeling's like, and she can't explain it to me.
I don't even know how to explain it.
Do you know what it feels like? She said, "It feels like there's actually someone inside you, and they're trying to get out."
Well, that's exactly what's happening.
That's exactly what it fucking
oh my
is.
God,
can you be a bit more? Do you know what it feels like? Oh my God, it feels. I went, you think so? It's like, yes, but tell me, like, make me feel it. Like, the innocence.
Oh. So baby is born.
Delivery,
and,
yes.
And baby is. Boy or girl, and obviously that's completely.
We know.
Yeah, I know.
It's, yeah.
Yeah,
and we've
lovely.
Not. We've
actually
we've,
that's one thing. That's one
we've
thing
not
we decided
slipped
to
up
keep.
On yet. Fabulous. Aoife knows, obviously.
Yeah, but
yeah,
that's
great.
One thing we kept a secret. Say, you know what? That's I just want the world to see same time. You know, with everybody.
Oh yeah.
We don't want to really.
And we have a name.
Oh, brilliant!
But we're thinking now. Are we very
no,
foolish not to have
that.
A backup?
No.
In case the baby doesn't look like.
No,
I'm practicing every day.
The mother here going, nope.
Yeah, no,
shaking the head. No. Nope.
Well, we named Cahal.
Oh,
so
Cahal.
You knew straight away.
Oh, absolutely. Very early
see.
Doors. Cleaning that very early doors.
See?
Well, we did a video for our families and friends, and we did one of those reveal balloons.
Yes. Oh, right.
Boy or girl.
Yeah.
And so we knew, but we revealed to our son whether he was going to have a baby sister or brother.
Yeah.
He wanted a baby sister.
Oh, he
oh
got lucky.
God. We were so lucky because if he, we were saying, God, if he'd been asking for a baby brother, we'd have been screwed.
Yeah. Could have
a lot of pink came out.
You could
so
have
we saw the pink and he was delighted.
Oh.
And then we told him in the video what her name was.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, and I whispered, she's going to be Cleona, so tell everybody. So in the video he goes, her name is Cleona.
Okay. So it's like he knows her
and,
even
and
before.
Then everybody... totally.
Yeah.
Now we were kind of thinking, oh God, let's hope everything goes well.
Totally.
Yeah.
We're like, you guys, you know, I'm a glass half full kind of person,
same
but I'm
me.
Also a bit of a realist. That,
yeah, same as me.
So
that's
you're trying to balance that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're blessed that everything went well. But yeah, we had her name from very, very early doors.
But actually, I want to ask you, you know, some people saying you will see the baby, you might change the name because they won't look like that.
Well, I don't buy into that, just from our
see,
experience.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe have a backup if it works for you guys. But for us, we didn't have a backup. We didn't need a backup. We instantly
see,
felt
I'm
this connection.
So I was in Gala. I was in the Gala shop in Strafford, and we'd waited for.
Again, I am not present.
He's not
we've
present.
Been waiting for this call such a long time to find out the gender. I'm in the car last minute.
So we're waiting for them, and
not
rang us. And then the Harmony, the first thing you go is, first of all, they told us we don't need to get the Harmony test done because donor and biological dad, all good, all healthy.
Yeah, you
no
already
wishes.
Knew a lot
but
of info.
If it's offered to you, we're going to get it done.
It's just another bit of peace of mind, I think.
Yes. Especially if we get one chance of doing this and this is their one time. Done
and I
that.
Always felt like if there was something to deal with, then well, at least you'd be prepared. You'd have information.
The earlier, the better. And was told everything is fine. Again, like, and you said you wanted to find... I was like, yes. Can we find out the gender? When the lady told me the gender, there was silence. on the. I mean, silent. And then I went, are you sure? She went... Oh, right, Mr. Darling, is this not happy? I said, oh, no, I'm happy. I just need to know that this is it
it's
now.
So
this is what happened.
Yeah.
I then had a baby with the gender. I knew in Gala I was either having a son or a daughter. It was like it was done.
Yeah.
And I was, it's real.
Yeah.
And then I walk out to him and I cry and I say, we are having a hoo-hoo. Mm-hmm. They just called me and we both cried in the car park and just hugged each other. And but then there was this thing of when he started the car, we both sat here like this. Almost going, what the fuck has happened?
It's real. It's, now that's
okay,
it.
So now
it's
we
real.
So now baby's healthy. We have a gender.
I know.
And then
huge.
It was to the name.
Huge.
And we've always liked names that could go with a boy or a girl. Mm. Like we liked James for a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think our name is people, my sister Hulk or whatever, that don't call the baby Apple because they think I'm going to go down that road. We're calling the baby Plum. So the name that we do have, I think is a gorgeous name.
For either.
For either.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be to everyone's tasting.
That doesn't matter.
But we like it.
We love it.
We not like it.
That's
love
all that
it,
matters.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sure there's plenty of people that don't agree with the names that we've given our children, but does that matter to us?
Exactly.
Of course
no.
it does.
I'm practicing every day, so
yeah, we do. But it. Like, it's so strange because even talking to you now in the third trimester and with a due date on the 10th of September, we do think we're going to go slightly earlier. Our consultant Declan has kind of said, oh, it could be, you know, end of August, or oh, it could be this, or it could be after. I just don't think we're going to get to the 10th of September. I just think
you're powerful manifestors.
Yes.
I everybody told me, oh, you'll go over in your first. I was, my due date on Cathal was the 1st of August.
Mm-hmm.
My water's broke on the 1st of August.
Oh, wow.
He was born in the early hours of the 2nd.
Wow, so bang on.
And everybody said, go over, you'll go over.
You'll
your first. So
days.
There you go.
Yeah.
And she wasn't due for a few days. And everyone is saying, you know, you're big into your numbers. 11th is a lot to you. She was born on 11-11.
Oh, wow. She's a witch. A good one. A white witch.
Yeah. So look, I think when you put it out there, proof is in the pudding. When you set your mind to it, when you verbalize it and you say it to the universe, right, it comes back. So, okay. So we might be looking at an August baby. You never know.
We could be looking. But for us, like, considering now is the end of June, it's not that far away.
Oh, my God.
And there's just a
the hospital bag, is it packed?
No.
Actually,
don't
his
worry,
family keeps saying that. Have you packed your bag?
Look,
have you packed your
no
bag?
There's no bags packed for
but
anyone.
Also, but don't worry.
Mine to the airport. I am out of here. Bye.
We always pack too much, I think. And you
I
need
agree.
Very little.
You
really.
Need very little, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. We still, because obviously, you know, it's so strange because when we announced all of this, there was that little bit of hate, which you're going to get. But I do think for us, the next hate we're going to get is preempting it, is the fact our baby is going to be bottle fed because Arthur and I are not female and don't have functioning breasts that provide milk. And already I'm thinking,
what? You don't produce breast
milk? We don't produce breast milk. What? I get in trouble for saying that now as
Shock
well.
Horror.
It's, but I'm thinking, oh, the breast is best. Brigade are going to be on and this and that. It's just that I'm now preempting.
Yeah, but we're ready for that. I'm ready.
It's just
for
so
that.
Strange that when you put something out that is so good and so positive, what amazes me is people that want to project hate and negativity towards it. And you wonder why.
When we announced first thing, some people, not everybody,
no.
but some people said it's disgusting. It's you see what money can do. You can buy anything. You're ripping a womb. This woman
wow.
is like treated so badly. Like we were reading, I was like, are you kidding me? This is before announcing IFA.
Yeah.
And then when we announced IFA, not one hate message. Because they realized it's not about money. It's somebody's doing the most incredible thing for us.
Yeah.
But before that, there were a few nasty, nasty messages.
And they're very troubled people. I think anyone who has that perspective is not right.
I was going to engage. And because getting a DM is like getting a text. Because we've got our notifications on, which we pip us all the time. We turn off those notifications.
Yeah, mine is
maybe I should have done them off. So it comes to your phone like a text. And I read some of them and it just filled me with such anger. But then I was reading them and going, you're so on. I don't mean this in a bad way, but people are just so uneducated. Mm. And you can't have a conversation or engage with someone who's not educated
that
enough
would force
to,
the so woman to do things
you,
for
you, no.
Yeah,
no. It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
real. Go away with your hate. We're just going to feel the love from everyone. And also for us, you know, we have public jobs and we have public platforms. So for us, releasing this is we wanted to release when we released. We got a lot further than we thought we would. And obviously, we're still going to protect IFA. And even now, when we do stuff, we get stopped every day from people
She's
who
so
just
beautiful.
Want to say congratulations
oh,
and talk about the baby.
So
and even today with our friend Joanne, who you know, the fabulous Joanne Byrne,
yeah.
and someone stopped and we were joking about a royal baby. I went, oh, this is what Kate
of course
and
you're
Megan
loving it.
Felt like. Oh, the baby. You know, and joking, oh, I'm not showing, you know, all that kind of fun and stuff. And people are so
people
lovely.
People have been absolutely incredible. People have been amazing. Forget those nasty messages.
I know.
Yeah, doesn't
course.
Matter.
They're the like majority maybe, are so yeah. happy for you guys.
Oh my God, 99%, 100%.
Dad, daddy, pops, papa, what are we talking here?
We've been
I
talking.
Can't be called daddy.
Okay.
Just very triggering.
But you see, naturally to
oh,
me, you're daddy.
There's a story.
There's a it involved someone before, a guy who I had to call daddy too. It was just very awkward. So yeah. I was a much older guy. He was a doctor. He was very wealthy.
He was into being called.
He was
into,
no, I was in my 20s. He liked me to call him daddy. Oh, yes, right, daddy. Okay. Buy me that, daddy. And it was great for me. But yeah, like, and I was. I, listen,
oh
I loved
God.
It. This man was rich, rich. I worked at Ryanair. He paid my rent and everything. It was great. I'd call him fucking Father Christmas if he wanted to. So I don't like the idea of being only 44. Someone calling me daddy.
This so, is your child
father,
you're talking about.
Hello, father. Dad. Dad.
No.
Dad.
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 Dad me's is appropriate.
Be, I think dad for me.
I think me's going to be papa.
Oh, papa. Lovely.
Yeah, papa. Because I want our child to speak Spanish, French,
yes.
and English.
Yes.
And obviously Irish.
Irish. Because, you know, in Irish.
Obviously Irish.
There's obviously different words. Dadza is Irish as well for dad.
Dada.
Yeah. Dadza.
Dada.
Do both your kids speak fluent Irish?
Well, Cliona is
sorry, 7 months. That's something. You mean she can't? Oh, your daughter is so behind, Sheila.
Does
Colin
months.
Speak?
She's like,
can he understand
English
Irish?
Oh, yeah, he can.
Great.
He can. He corrects me because
fabulous.
Because
so,
his,
so one, shady.
One of his teachers is from Donegal and has beautiful Donegal
oh,
Irish.
Oh, that accent,
so,
yes.
That's gorgeous. So often, he'll come home from Nina from play school and we'll chat. And then you'll say, "Mommy, you're saying it wrong."
Oh my God! Wow.
Because Sandra oh says God, it differently.
That's... Sandra's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. So, there
so
you go.
Obviously English, yes. Arthur speaks fluent French. I'd also Arthur speaks fluent Russian. Our niece
do
Chloe,
you as
yeah,
well.
He's I Russian.
Do,
yeah. So that'd be great.
So what's the Russian for dad?
Papa.
Oh, papa. And what Spanish? What would they say?
We don't know yet.
I don't know Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. I
but
don't.
But papa's lovely.
Papa
dad.
Is,
but
yeah.
Perfect.
Chloe, my niece, my sister's baby.
I mean. I speak Armenian too, but obviously for the child is too much, maybe later on. But I think those are the languages I would love the child to speak.
And we're saying Spanish because Chloe's doing Erasmus year at college. She's out in Spain at the moment. So she's going to be a teacher and teaching language and Spanish and going to Spain and teaching English.
This is your niece?
My niece Chloe. She's 21 actually in August. She was born, Tracy had her at 16. She was so young and they're like sisters. And she was born just after I came out of Big Brother. So I was so worried about Tracy and Chloe. And to see her now at 21... nearly finishing college and she's a fully fledged adult. It's really weird.
Yeah.
So she's going to be in baby's life, Chloe, teaching Spanish. How amazing.
Oh, wonderful.
I won't understand any language my child speaks.
And you know, everybody
say it in English. Say it in fucking English.
They always say it takes a village and it's very true because,
I
you know
that.
Yeah, but you have
growing
it.
Growing up.
You have your village.
So blessed with my six sisters, even with Aoife, and we obviously started initially. And, you know, there is no... How people normally do it is when the surrogate wouldn't be involved in the baby's life. So the surrogate wouldn't hold the baby in the hospital, wouldn't do any of that. But Aoife's my sister, his sister-in-law, our best friend, but also an aunt to this child. So all of that is going to go out the window. So once baby is born, when Aoife goes into the recovery room, we've even said we may then find that private moment with Arthur and I to walk in, I'm getting emotional now, to walk in with the baby and give Aoife, you know, that... moment and probably doing it privately with us because that is going to be quite emotional because she has carried, you know, the baby for so long. And I suppose our fear is what if she held the baby and didn't want to give the baby back? My insecurity would think that. There's no red flags as to why I should think that. It's just you think it's been so amazing for us, you know, and it's been so perfect. I don't think that's going to happen, but I also want her to have that moment of holding her niece or nephew and having that moment in private and going, she has done that with us.
Yeah.
You know, because no one knows how it's going to pan out. So I suppose it's just fear, it's insecurity because we don't know. And then if that was to happen, what would we do? What do you do?
That won't happen.
It won't
I'm
happen.
I'm gonna light this up.
No, it
she
won't happen.
Can't wait to go to your sister's wedding on 15th of September.
Yes,
so she'd be absolutely mad.
And I get it.
She's
and I
so
get
excited.
Like I suppose
so
it's completely it makes sense that you would, because you know when you want something so much, yeah. you automatically look at the what kind of worst case scenario.
Yeah. It's that's what I go to. It's like what you're saying, realistic. Yeah.
He's thinking that.
Totally.
But I never, because I know she's so strong in her mind. She's so incredible. She knows this is the best thing she's ever doing for us.
Yeah.
And she will never, not in a million years, gonna twist.
Of course.
We joke all the time. She's like, because she's got the right, because she's biological mother.
She's classed
right?
as the biological mother.
Don't mess with me. I'll take away from you.
You know, we always joke and stuff.
But she's very good. I know you're always upset.
Oh, and she's my sister.
You're scared, but
yeah.
Like, you never know. Things can happen.
This isn't just the surrogate that we've picked, or, you know, we were matched with through an agency. She is my sister, my blood. We've been through so much together. There's also
you've inserted things in her body.
Yes. Literally. I held a cup as she pissed in it. Like, come on. Also, our mom's not around, and mom's not experiencing this with her. And I feel there's a sense of vulnerability. You know, Tara had Harvey and mom wasn't around, and mom's not around now. So it's that thing of where I feel I'm stepping in being her mom also. Do you know sort of way?
Yeah. Well, and I get that feeling whenever I follow your stories that you're very mindful of her, minding 100%. Her and protecting
when
her.
When we go anywhere, we're queuing for a taxi. Like, people, 2 meters is just not enough. You need to back 5 meters away from her. She's pregnant. Give this woman space.
Yeah.
If we go on trains, my arm is out. No one's
also,
getting
here. Also, if
no
it doesn't have special awareness, she is so clumsy.
She's getting bigger and heavier.
You, like Brian and Aoife, are so clumsy. Honestly, there'll be a massive stadium, football pitch. They will walk into a stone.
Yeah.
I don't know how they will do this. I swear to God. It's like, Effie, you got...
And you become quite clumsy when you're pregnant. Yeah. Simply
but
because
you're
carrying more weight.
And Aoife's small in stature. Is she 5'2"?
Yeah, 5'2", yeah.
5'2", so...
She looks glorious. She looks like she's having... And I'm delighted to hear that she's having such a good pregnancy. So you're having scans. You're flying it through. You're in the third trimester. Like,
nearly
do you know
what? Like,
baby's going to be here before you know, guys.
I think... I really think it'll be a summer baby. I just don't know why.
Yeah.
Oh, I just do.
I'm so excited for you.
And I have to say, since actually she's pregnant, she matured so much. I know she was mature. She became a different girl. Like before, prior to pregnancy, I loved FD. She was like the different sister that I never had. But now she's so mature. She's so different minded. I'm like, what's happened to you? Who are you? I think being pregnant completely changed her life.
And also,
Aoife's name is
Aoife Dowling. Effie's her nickname.
I changed her name.
Our Instagram, it's at Effie. We've always called her Effie. My sisters call her Fa. And our five other sisters have all been pregnant.
Where did the Effie come from? Is it somebody who tried to pronounce her name?
Arthur called her Effie.
Because I remember when we were in UK.
Yeah.
She moved with us in 2015.
She lived with us in London for a year and a half.
So I was like, let's open an Instagram account. I was like, there's so many Aoife Dowlings. Like, literally, if you Google on Instagram, Aoife Dowling. She's like, I trust you. Again, she's not a social media person. She said, do whatever you want. And I have this tendency, I always change people's name. Always. I don't really call them their names how it is. So I said, Effie.
So what do you call Brian?
Can't repeat that here.
It's over 18.
You need to beep. You need a big beep machine here.
Beep, 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 beep.
No, we actually give so many nicknames, different names all the time. But I said, I love Effie. Yeah. Effie Dowling, and that's been sent. Everybody call her Effie.
Love
like,
it.
Yeah.
And there is this, I think we've created like kind of curiosity regarding Aoife. And I think people would be very interested for Aoife to sit down and have a conversation with someone. And we have been asked to do that. And Aoife has always politely declined.
But I think the right time has to be for her, like when she's ready to talk. Yeah,
because we've talked about, you know, you and I, there's been interest in us potentially doing some sort of documentary-esque thing or, you know, capturing the last few weeks of pregnancy, delivery, and then what happens afterwards. And, you know, she's said, yes, she's interested in doing that. But I'm always just mindful of her because Aoife doesn't work in our industry. She'll go back to a normal job. She'll recover, do all of that. And I just want to make sure that she's just protected in that way and safe.
Of course, yeah.
And we owe her that.
Yeah.
Especially with all the hormones racing through her body.
Oh, guys, it's the most gorgeous story. And I'm just so excited for you both.
Can't wait.
I'm excited for Aoife as well because... you know, she's doing this beautiful thing and she's sacrificing so much and she wants to do it and she's doing it with the whole of her heart, but she'll also then enter a new phase in her own life, and who knows where things will go and what will happen in her life too.
And like, Aoife is single at the moment, and she said to us, and I've said this, and someone said to me, oh, how could you say that about her? Because Aoife told me I could say this, is that she doesn't know if she'll ever have her own children. She doesn't know if she will ever get married. She's 33. She flat shares with two other girls in Dublin City in Bowles Bridge. So for her to experience the kind of joy of pregnancy, but then to also be able to gift us something we've wanted for years, this could be her only pregnancy. Who knows?
Who knows? Exactly. None of us know how life is going to turn out. And certainly back in January 2020, when we sat down, we had no idea where life was going to take us. And if we had a crystal ball then to see what would have happened in our lives, we
I'm going to ask you now, because 2 years ago, she kind of checked it and got something right. So do you see us with a boy or a girl? If you were going to go anywhere, I'd love to know.
Please.
So when we come back and talk with you again,
I don't know why, and I could be completely wrong, but I feel it's a girl.
Do you? Why?
Interesting. I don't know.
Because a lot of people have said boys.
I'm totally wrong.
Stay tuned for podcast number three coming in like 2 years.
I can't read your faces, so I'm probably very wrong.
Do you
wrong.
Know why you can't read my face? Botox. I turned 44 recently. God. So I had a top up, which I don't know. A top up. I was like, fill me the fuck up. They went down to the fucking bone in my neck the whole way to my hairline. I was like, when my child sees my face, they won't think granddad. They'll think dad. So that's why. But it's so true. Because a lot of people have said,
"Look, I'm not a clairvoyant.
You should do private bookings."
A lot of people predicted my career, so
a lot of people think, "Boy, it's very funny. It's so strange."
No, it's actually now it's 50-50. Before it was boy, 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 but now on social media, oh, it's a girl, girl. And then, no, it's boy.
Analyzing Aoife's bump, people have done a lot. And then analyzing, she's craving a lot of sweet things. And people say, well, I had a girl and I had sweet things. And then some
I had a boy.
All of that is kind of nonsense. Thank you for making time between birthdays and holidays and celebrations and bump watch. I know your lives are pretty busy. So thanks for making time to be here today. It's been a gorgeous conversation. Can I please book you in? For
2024 March,
and we talk about the sleepless nights.
Actually, maybe January 2023 would be quite a good time.
Would that be nice?
We'll have baby will be 4 months old. We've gotten over Christmas. Hopefully, he'll be back on judging if the show comes back.
Oh yeah, because you never know.
We might need to leave it to March then.
Yeah, because he's so busy being so famous. Everyone loves Arthur everywhere we go, and I'm like, Arthur. Oh yeah,
are you jealous much?
It's so funny.
Is that a bit weird for you now?
The weirdest thing was, I think I said it, we were on the Late Show. So when you go on the Late Show, like...
No, let me tell this story.
This is a thing.
Like, he goes, obviously, he's known in Ireland, in UK, etc. And I never had issue. I love him to a bit. I will support him. And I remember we were booked on Late Show for Valentine's Day. Mm. And so, as I always done, I stepped back. Mm. It's always about Brian Dunn and Gurley.
So
and
I'm near, when you stage. Go up the stairs, when I'm ready to go, we called our first. So
and he, Ryan.
I'm ready.
And he naturally, literally backstage went front of me. And I went like, okay, it's fine. And I remember the stage manager went, no, sorry, Brian, can you just go in the back? We laughed so hard. Like, it was
Ryan goes,
so
please
funny.
Welcome Arthur Gurley and his husband, Brian Dowling.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Change is a coming.
Now, the truth, were you dying inside a little
not
bit?
Not one little bit. Can I tell you something?
That's so funny.
I've been banging on doors for 20 years. I feel 100. I wanted to come back here. I wanted to raise our family in Ireland, have a home here. So for Arthur to be on the biggest show on television, doing his thing, makes it easier for me. 100%.
Listen, we're so equal. I don't care if he's more or me. I don't care. Okay,
and I don't think you can have that in a relationship that has to function at its best all the time. You can't be jealous or feel insecure because then it's just
You can tell that you support each other wholeheartedly. That you're your biggest support.
Yeah.
The last time we spoke, you said you want the wish and dream was to come back to Ireland, buy a house and have your children.
Yes.
Is it a watch this space?
It is. And I'll tell you why. Because when you go down the route that we go down, you have to think quickly and what's next. So we would love to have more than one child. Absolutely. We've always said that. We still have one egg left. It's not an embryo yet, but we have one. Embryo. We have one left,
which we lost the egg donor. The one, the first egg donor.
Yes. Oh, actually, yes, we have lost that egg donor.
It's not going
to
be the same.
So if we go again, we'd have to have a different donor,
which is fine.
Which I don't think is an issue for us. You know, I don't think that's an issue because that's families, regardless of, you know, kids will have the same biological father, two dads, but, you know, the same biological father, but they would have a different donor. But that's not an issue for us.
And also, I don't know if you're into it, but I certainly am. I'm a big believer in, you know, I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual. And I do believe that we all have a soul. We all have a spirit. Mm. And that babies choose their parents.
Yeah, I agree.
They're waiting for the right time to come in. And we hope, wish and desire. But, it, you know, there is a plan. And sometimes we don't understand that plan. Sometimes that plan doesn't go the way you want. And it can, you can have ups, downs, ins and outs. But, you know, we really feel like our little baby girl was destined to come in the way she did, and particularly on the date that she came in. So whether, however that comes about, whether it's through adoption or through surrogacy, you know, these little beings are their own little spirit, and they will come in the way they're meant to come in.
I agree.
So
like we said earlier, it's true, like this baby was meant to be for us because we could have been pregnant earlier, it didn't work. So it's two different babies. So no, so I totally agree with
you. We do feel that we do have one more there. It's not an embryo yet. You know, I think I think the fact it's not an embryo and baby two isn't in a freezer makes it easier if we didn't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it's just still just
I want to do it. I really, I mean, my dream's always been, I've been very vocal about three boys. I always wanted three boys.
Okay.
So
you might have given the game away there with a smile on your face.
Perhaps. I didn't give away anything.
Can I take out the fact that I have a strong feeling that it's a girl?
No. That stays in 100%. Like, I'm like, he wants three. Age has always been a thing for me.
And I definitely am the boy.
But we said earlier, both of us in our 40s, I feel this is the time I want to be a parent, is right now.
Yeah.
Right now. And if we go again and it works, 100%.
Not if, when.
But I think we need to get baby one here, safe and sound. Mm. I need to make sure I can still function on no sleep. You know, still
this morning you were saying, oh my God, I'll be fine, nothing will be changing.
Such a it'll wear off.
Because but all babies are different. You might get one of those magical bobbles.
But I think it will.
Exactly.
But also I said to Arthur that we still want to live all parts of our lives to the fullest. Friends to the fullest, brother to the fullest, husband to the fullest. And I think the baby we get would be so sassy, up and running. Let's go to Ibiza, let's go to a beach, let's go shopping, let's take daddy to the salon. Let's take dad to the salon. Let's get dad a spray tan. No, I've not spoken
but
to
you
that daddy in ages.
Brian and I were so hyped, we're so loud. Imagine this baby comes out calm.
My sisters are like, one of the babies a bookworm and could really highly educated. I'm like, we can't watch Love Island, really? We can't watch The Real Housewives? What is wrong with you?
Oh my God.
I'd be so embarrassed.
Oh God.
Like a real eye roller. Oh God, here he
is. Of us.
Looking at us, yeah.
Come here, go and pack that hospital bag. Don't pack too much. And excitement all the way. Love, luck, everything good being sent your way. Thanks again, guys. You're an absolute tonic and I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. And if you did, please do share it with your pals, your family, or on social media. And you can support what I do in all the usual ways by clicking follow, giving a rating, or leaving a little comment. Thank you so much. Also, keep an eye out for their upcoming documentary on their journey to parenthood. And I look forward to a follow-up chat with them again in the future. You've been listening to Ready to Be Real.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.